For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
Well, I wanted to tell you, this is part of the International Disability Center with Johnny and Friends. And this is a chapel that's within the building. And there is a totally ADA approved ramp that goes all the way around it to the second floor. And at each stop, there is a scripture on the wall at each turn. And it's really cool to hear what people say when Johnny comes into work. She goes up the ramp and she sings all the way up the ramp. And just I can just imagine how wonderful that is. Well, good morning to all of you. I do have two new faces. Thanks for hanging in with us. Are you feeling encouraged? Yeah? Did your mind start thinking what you could do, not do? Okay, that's exactly what we want, is to be able to help you in this way. The mission statement for Johnny and Friends is that we communicate the gospel and equip Christ-honoring churches worldwide to evangelize and disciple people affected by disabilities. The ministry itself is international, and we have different programs that address the needs internationally, but it started out as actually a kitchen tabletop ministry. Johnny was interviewed by Barbara Walters because of her ability to paint beautiful pictures. And what happened is thousands of people wrote to Johnny to how do they encourage their loved one. And so basically they started a letter writing ministry. And I asked her, when did you move to California? Did you go there for therapeutic reasons? And she said no, she just knew that the disability ministry would flourish out there. So, did you guys enjoy her last night? How about Robin? You know, I am so thankful that they videotaped that, because think of how many, and you won't be available, I think, for like another week or two, but think of how many parents we can encourage. Just listen to the Robin part. I don't remember what the number is, but I think it's like 98% of people who know that they have a baby with Down, it's 98, who know that they have a baby in utero that has Down syndrome is terminated. They're aborted. And so we're going to have a people group that we're going to, yes. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is we're going to miss meeting people like Robin. And, you know, God just shows up in weakness. And, man, I said to her, you did it in front of all those people. I couldn't even do it my first session. I'm like, you know. And she's like, it was the Lord. All right, we have four main programs with Johnny and Friends. Family Retreat is one of our best training grounds for disability ministry. And what it is we offer training for volunteers to come and spend 5 days with families affected by disabilities. And they are trained for the first day and a half, and they do not know who their person is that they're assigned to, because we want them to see the whole picture. And then by Monday morning, they're given the name of their person and more in-depth information of how to be with that person, a teen, child, whatever. And then by about 2 o'clock, 1 or 2, the families start arriving. And we have a team that meets them outside of the lobby. It's at Shawn Resort, which is in Portsmouth. And we have all the volunteers, which we call STMs, short-term missionaries. They wait in the lobby to welcome these families. And so we have this system where we use kind of like the red, yellow, green. The red is a quiet welcome. The yellow is a moderate one. And the green is like, yahoo, you know, okay. Well, I remember hearing a mom said, we'll take the loud one. So they walk in through the double doors, and everybody goes, yeah, we're so excited to see you. And I remember the short-term missionary that was connected with the family, she said that when they were taking the luggage to the family's houses, their rooms, the mom just stopped and started crying. And she said, we've never been welcomed like this before. So, you know, it is so much fun to do family retreat. A day would look like You get up in the morning, you will share a meal with your person and their families. Let's say if you're connected with a child that needs to be fed. Pardon me. You will help that person have their meal while their family members can relax. If you have a kid that eats like in a minute and ready to go, you say bye-bye to the family and you go. And so the whole goal is to come alongside a family or people who are tired. We want to give them refreshment, a chance to just let us carry the load a little bit. And, you know, we are blessed probably more than the families. And so you'll have your breakfast, and then we have programming in the morning. We have like a VBS rotation, full inclusion. And then we have the parents will be in a room like this, not this large, and they'll have a Christian speaker, and then they break into small groups. So we have mom's groups, and then we have mixed groups and singles groups. And they basically take what they've learned and they start connecting, sharing their stories, crying if they need to, sharing networking ideas, that kind of thing. And by about Tuesday night, people just are relaxed. Like, oh yeah, we can breathe. No one's gonna complain our kid is screaming all the time. Or they're just able to actually maybe look at each other as husband and wife instead of worrying about where their kids are or if their daughter's fed and that kind of thing. This picture right here, we actually have a youth group that came. This is the second year. The first year, this youth pastor brought 17 people. And this year they brought 26. And so I asked him, I said, why did you choose Johnny and Friends? He said that at their church, what they were noticing is that people that go on mission or focus on going on mission, they're actually wanting to go to a place, go to Italy, go to Mexico, go to whatever. He said, we want them to learn to go to a people. And as a sibling myself, What a privilege it is to meet with people who have not been personally affected by disability, that they want to hang with us. And the kids are wonderful. They learn how to be like Jesus with skin on it. You know, this young man, this is his first year, and he had a blast. And I think the boy that he had was on the autism spectrum. I'm thinking. ADHD, okay. Okay, and then we got this guy. He's a lot of fun. I think he's in his late 20s. Last year, he and his parents were going to come, but his father got really ill, and they dropped him off and went to take care of what he needed to do. And we took the risk of just saying, yeah, we'll make it happen, connect him with someone, and it was a great week for him. So this year, he came with his mom. And she loved it because she met other mothers. And this man, is he funny or what? He has served in, I think, how many? A lot. I think like 15, 17 family retreats. And he came to join us. And so this was a perfect match for them. This little boy is new to not only my church, but to Johnny and Friends. Little Jake, he loves everybody. And he's almost in every picture we have. but it was so funny. He said, I love her. Or someone just finishes something on the stage. I love him. You know, it was a blessing to have it. And he was a busy kid. We put two short-term missionaries with him, an older man. And he doesn't have a dad at home. And no, this other man just kind of instantly became his dad. And I don't think he ever looked up the whole week. He was looking for Jacob all over the place. But they fell so much in love with him that when we returned that Friday, we had Ohio Special Olympics at the Ohio State Fair. No, at the Ohio State University. I guess that could be a fair to some people. But Jacob was running, and they came to watch him run and be there for his event. How cool is that? Okay. And this woman, Rhonda, she came one year with her personal care assistant, and she just had a blast, and we love Rhonda. Rhonda loves Jesus. And this year was really cool. I think I have some pictures of it. She has not been in the swimming pool since she was a kid. And this year we got her down the lift. How many years? She's 47. Yeah, so a long time. So her care assistant, we use the little seat that takes you into the pool. And just watching Rhonda feel like not have to carry weight, and just her whole countenance change, her mother, you know, crying. And tears are good. And family retreat, we expect that. Here are some of the youth group right here. And we have different churches that come alongside of us down at the resort. One church had an ice cream social for us. Another church came and had a carnival night and even brought wonderful animals, a lot of baby animals that had to be fed, a goat that needed to be milked. There were two llamas, baby llamas, and horses, of course. Wait, that's Mr. Red, right? A horse is a horse, of course. Okay. the teen group had an activity where they did wheelchair art. And even if you didn't use a wheelchair, we found a wheelchair, and they went through the paint and then put their handprints all over it. And they ended up cutting squares and making those something like a picture that they can take back home for a memory of family retreat. Isn't this precious? Okay, that's in Johnny and Friends Through the Roof, family retreat. Any questions on family retreat? Wait. Can you guys hear?
If you wanted a youth group to come volunteer, like how many people would it take?
As many as we can get.
Just any
amount. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing is, you won't do the training. We'll do it. Mm-hmm. And also, in the wonderful thing about family retreat, it's not like camp where you have the person overnight. The families stay in the resort, most of them. And so if you have a child, they go home with their mom and dad at 8 o'clock. If they want to go swimming or do something else, that's up to them. But so we don't have any overnight responsibilities.
Do the volunteers pay to be able to volunteer?
Yes, they do. I think it was like $385. What's really interesting is that STM, short-term missionaries, pay more than the families. And so some of the money they pay helps make a scholarship for someone to be able to come. Yeah, the families arrive at Monday afternoon, and they leave Friday late morning. Volunteers are there. They come on Sunday, and they leave after we clean up on the late Friday afternoon. Give you an idea. Yeah, they can do the typical missions fundraising. I would like to go to a people group, and they have special needs, and they're here in the state. They're right in our backyard, and I want to learn how to be with the people that Jesus hung out with. Okay. Any more questions on family retreat? Yeah.
How many people can you accommodate at the facility?
Well, we take over the whole resort, and there are 50 rooms, I believe. I don't know how many are wheelchair accessible. Typically, we try to find a Christian resort, but most of them are not accessible. We had 42 families this year and over 100 short-term missionaries, and that doesn't include the leaders. So I don't know how many. The staff love us. We take over the whole resort, and they fight to work that week. You know.
Do you have the same place?
We have had it at the same place. Next year, we're going to have it there.
Same state, the same.
No, there's 22 across the country, and some families actually go from one to another for their vacation. But in Ohio, Shawnee Resort has been the first place we've been. We will have it again there the last week of June next year, and we are planning to have another one up in northern Ohio. Did you know the date? Okay.
August, we're still trying to get a better date.
Okay, so we're thinking about August, And most of the leaders, Donna Hughes is my area director, she asked us how many of you would be willing to do two of them, and I think every leader raised her hand. Is that important? The hope is, when you are thinking about starting a buddy connection, learning to be with a person at retreat, you're fully immersed in the whole community. And so you leave trained to be a buddy. Okay. All right, Through the Roof is pretty much what I do with Johnny and friends. I help churches begin and develop disability ministries here in Ohio or whoever else calls. Not every state has an area, a director, but Ohio does. And we have two extension offices. Mine is here in Columbus. And we have another one with Julie Hines in the Northern Ohio area. Our main office is in Xenia. And we actually have an event tonight with Johnny speaking. It's a free event. It starts at 7. And we will have, it almost will look like a Luke 14 banquet, where we have a beautiful night, we have some entertainment, have a wonderful speaker. And so that's pretty much what a Luke 14 banquet would look like without the food. Okay. This year, this is what we do with the Through the Roof Academies. Ohio is the only one doing it right now. What we have been doing is traveling to different cities and connecting with people who are like-minded in ministry. If they have experience, what we do is we have workshops that are focused on a certain topic. We will have one this August 22nd at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Xenia, Ohio. The topic is ADD, ADHD, and autism. And so we will have different people talk about whether it be a speech pathologist or how to set up a classroom. Okay, how to set up a classroom and how to relate with families, you know, do the notes, and then also maybe approaching your pastor. How do you approach your pastor with your desire to start a ministry? So that's what we'll be doing in August. These are teachers. She's a speech pathologist. Her topic was for the autism conference was what goes on with when the environment impacts a person's mind. Right, and so what happens, sometimes we have behaviors, right? Well, this person talked about how do you handle those behaviors, right? So it would be classroom strategy, that type of thing. And then this right here is the same thing as kind of like what I talked about yesterday, sensory break room. Delaware Christian Church has one. And so they actually took the people in the room so they can see what that looks like. So as you can see, it's a pretty well-rounded program. One thing I like to do is find opportunities to go fishing in the community to find the people that are not in church, because we know they're not in church, because what is it, 11% of churches offer different types of ministry. I love to create ideas. I love it when I have an opportunity and I go and then I want to take people with me. This is at my brother's group home. This is Chris. He is the only verbal person out of the 16 adults that live there. And we brought small groups with us once a month for what we called Joyful Noise. And basically it was a noise because they had nonverbal people. And we would just do worship songs, have a craft, and then pray with them. It allowed the small group people who have never had experience with this community to be able to come in and say, oh, this is okay. You kind of like break down that barrier. So anyway, Chris, he loves the song Bingo. So every time we finish our worship service, we sing Bingo, because that was his name-o. But Chris, as you see, Chris is bald, and every time we come, it's the night before he gets his head shaved. So every time we see him, he's like, get my head shaved tomorrow. All right, Chris. And but here we had a little baby, and I just thought it was so cute. They're both kind of bald-headed. Okay, here's another outreach that I do during the school year called the Boardroom. B-O-A-R-D. As a kid, my family, we couldn't play board games because my brother would flip the table over, maybe eat the parts. So it's something I like to do now because he's not around to do that to me. But here we did full inclusion, and because my church is wheelchair accessible, and the only requirement is 3 hours. It's for teens and adults. The only requirement is they need to know how to play a game. I don't care if it's Uno or shoots and ladders all night. They need to know how to play a game. And then we have parents drop them off. I do charge for the pizza and the soda because, you know, you get a big group, it adds up. But it gives the parents or even single parents a chance to go out with the other single parent for dinner and just to have time together. And the kids have a blast. This here is the Brave Artist Ministry, and it was started by a woman whose husband was an artist, and he had died of brain cancer. She has a daughter with Down syndrome, and Susan loves to paint. And so she wanted to start an outreach for adults with developmental disabilities who like art and like to paint. So it's a pretty cool thing. And she usually does it right before Mother's Day, Father's Day, so it's not a one time a month type of thing. And she does charge for it because I told her canvas is expensive. Paint is expensive, and I think people wouldn't mind having a morning off while their kids are having a blast. These are brothers, these two guys. The man with the hat, I have to tell a funny story because we have so many funny stories. But anyway, I was walking around and I said, wow, that painting looks really good. He looked up and he slowly said, you dating anyone? I said, I'm sorry, I'm married. And Dan said, you sure? I said, yes, sure. Oh, okay. But it was just struck me funny because I had just let my hair go white. And here this guy's asking me out. If we don't laugh, what are you going to do? Okay, in this picture here, we had one of the deaf folks in our church lead a deaf kids sign language class. And she would... she would come to the school. This is a Christian school, and at lunchtime, and we'd have lunchtime where they would learn sign language, and they actually performed a song at the end of it. Here's Chris again. You know, God uses Chris to bring people, like, to step into their zone and invite them in. You know, he's not aware of personal space, but by the end of the night, he has made everyone comfortable in the Joyful Noise program. This is a mom with her daughter, and she actually started a disability ministry at her church. Another program we have with Johnny and Friends, I'm really sorry about my voice, some of you don't know this, but I've had vocal cord surgery, and this is as good as it gets. Wheels for the World is, we collect used mobility equipment, and oh no, we don't do that with them. Someone sent me this picture of walkers with spray painted green and stacked to look like a Christmas tree as art. And so I thought I'd put that there just in case you're not awake yet and just wanted to make sure you're listening to me. Isn't that funny? Okay, what we do is we do collect used mobility equipment, walkers, canes, crutches, and mobility parts. And what we do is we connect with a local evangelist in a developing country, and they have invited us to come. We send occupational therapists, physical therapists, and mechanics to go fit people for the equipment. And I remember once sharing about Wheels for the World with a friend of mine who didn't know of the program, excuse me. And she said, you know, Deb, let's just go online and let's find inexpensive wheelchairs. There's got to be a better way. And a lot of people think that, but people who are very disabled need to have chairs that are fitted properly, or their organs might be squished. Or, you know, so people don't think like that. But I said, really, what we would miss is we would miss people who are disabled, who can make phone calls, call a local hospital. Do you have any wheelchairs you're not using, equipment? And they coordinate someone else to pick it up. So they have a job in ministry. And so we would be taking that away. And then the prisoners that refurbish these things, they clean them up, make them look as good as new as other gifts. They wouldn't have the blessing of knowing that they're passing on a wonderful gift of mobility to someone else who may never have that opportunity. And then they'd be missing, the mechanic and the OT and PTs would be missing out on sitting at the feet of Jesus when they see a person's countenance change when they are fitted for the equipment they need. I went to Honduras. We did a disability awareness program down there, but we also had a little mini wheelchair distribution. And this man crawled in. And he had just come off a truck with a bunch of guys who have these wild-looking wheelchairs. They're like terrain type of chairs. And he was coming, and those chairs do not fit in their homes. So they need a regular wheelchair when they're in their homes. And so anyway, they dropped him off, and then he was fitted for a chair. And just look at his face. He's smiling and so happy. So what we do is we fit him for the chair, and then we give them the gospel, Bible, in their own language. And we remain in contact with the evangelist in the area. And this is Edwin. Edwin, I think he was about, he looks like he's maybe about three. Yeah, well, Edwin, one of my previous directors, had met him in his kitchen. He sits in this chair all day, and she did not have a pediatric chair. So Margaret took his measurements, came back to the States. She knew of a family from family retreat that probably their kid has outgrown a wheelchair, and she brought it back. And here he is. I asked the person that fitted him, how long did it take to get this little smile going here? And she said, within seconds. And he has a couple teeth missing. How cute is that? But anyway, look at that. There's a difference from here to here. That's God's kindness. Now, the people who collect the chairs are all kinds of people. And I remember I went to a conference for wheelchair core people and the prison site wardens, because at that time they were connecting to do this work of service. Well, you meet all kinds of people. You see pictures of all kinds of ways to transport this equipment they collected. This is actually a wheelchair drive. And what that means is your church can have a wheelchair drive and have someone there on a certain day and just take in mobility equipment. If it's a wheelchair, we do mark it with a tag, and it is followed through who donated it to the who got it. We don't follow a chair anymore because it's just too detailed work. But as you can see, there's one kind of trailer. This truck right here, I did not have a truck until we had our event on a Saturday. It wasn't until Thursday before I had a truck and the man couldn't follow through. And so this person did, and the name of the truck is Mercy and Grace. Okay, and then here's like a typical drop-off. Here's the team in this region of people who collect mobility equipment. As you can see, we have all kinds of people. Special delivery is another program for Johnny and Friends. Because Johnny has written so many books, we have publishers that give us free items to donate and use it as a way of reaching someone who may have been forgotten. It could be someone in a nursing home. It could be person, a group home, but what we would do is that if there's no fee to it, we do have a form of paper to give you that you can say, what happened at this meeting? Were you able to pray with this person? Did they receive Christ? And that kind of paper is just a couple questions you would give back to us, and we would send it to the publishers so they know what we're doing with their items and then we get more. So we're always looking for appropriate donation items. This one lady had all these Beanie Babies. I mean, all stored in bins and stuff. And so we ended up giving Faith one of the little Beanie Babies. And as you can see, she's pretty happy about it. Okay, the story of this woman right here. Her sister was a children's pastor with the church here in town. And she goes to adult daycare 3 days a week. And her ministry is she takes coloring pages and colors them and then writes scriptures on them and then hands them out to people that she feels like they need encouragement. And this is one of the people that spoke about one of the pages that she received. And this is what we did after the visit. So we had about 27 of those little lamps to give away. Okay, this we did Christmas caroling at the Short North area. We actually went to the storefronts and, okay, can we sing you Christmas carols? And it is a mixed group of people. There are people with disabilities, developmental disabilities, and their parents, and other people who like to sing Christmas carols. Now, the Harvest Project is something that, let's say if you are a builder, and you have this, you can make ramps. Actually, a team will partner with Johnny and friends to go to a developing country and build ramps. This is one ramp that was built into a church. And we actually, we have two of our missionaries over there that are in Honduras. You were part of that, right? Do you want to say anything about that?
We put 8 ramps into one of the public elementary schools, and in 2004, when Johnny and friends went into the community, you didn't see any wheelchairs out in the dirt streets, and by last year, you could see people going, and we had 2 girls attending the elementary school, and they were just excited about the ramps connecting the All the rooms had steps, and they couldn't get around unless someone helped them. So they were, in fact, I threatened to put up a speed limit sign.
Did you have a church that helped you with that? Mm-hmm. What church was it?
I always go by Pastor Noe's church, but it's...
That's Santidad Church of Holiness.
Santidad Church. And 2 basic churches in the village that helped with the work, and they provided volunteers and those.
Thank you. Total Access will take it a little bit further. They can, I believe this is more in the States than it is outside of the States. There's actually a church here in Ohio that has built over 200 wheelchair ramps in the last year. And so if you ever know of someone who needs a ramp for their home, you can give me a call. 2x2 is pretty new. What they're trying to do is connect people who have experience of working with maybe people who are medically fragile or really need more help physically with their needs. We have doctors, nurses go and help train other physicians, nurses, on how to help the folks who need that kind of therapy, whatever it is. So we're building understanding, and it's like another way of inclusion. People aren't afraid to help anybody else out. Do you guys have any questions right now? I'm going to go through these quick. I know that some of you have already seen these, but we do have 2 disability awareness kits, and I believe they're the only ones available that are Christian. But it allows for kids to meet a certain child And it explains a little bit about their disability in their language. And then they give them the experience of possibly what it might mean, what it looked like or feel. And each one has a mission component. So it's kind of set up like the old VBS, but you don't have to use it in the summer. You can use it once a week in your Sunday school class, or you can do it at VBS as another program. So the Mission Unstoppable is geared for Wheels for the World. It costs us over $150 to process a wheelchair from the beginning to its actual destination. And so they collect pennies and offer to help subsidize that. In Camp Lean on the Lord, the focus is on family retreat. They meet different family retreat campers, and they talk about autism, learning disability, cerebral palsy, just to name a couple of things. What I like about this one is that it really talks about the children's ability and not their disability. And so, oh, Johnny can do this, or Zach can do this. Now, this is an old book, but I like this book. You know, some of the older books, if you're really stuck on labels or political correctness, some of it might drive you crazy. But really, just read beyond the words, because the labels change all the time. And anyway, what I like about this book is they actually have a graph. You remember mass, you know, north, south, east, west kind of graph. But it's a visual picture of why we have people, why are people indifferent? You know, they don't value people and they just don't care. And that's why ADA laws came into play, because it forced some people's hand towards inclusion. And then you might have people who, you don't value people, but they have the knowledge, so they're indifferent. You know, not affecting me, why do I have to consider somebody else? Or that you have a person that values people but just doesn't have the information. And that just might be right where some of you are right now. And then the other part of the quadrant is you value people and you identify with them, because we're all fallen. We all fall short of the glory of God, and we all have issues. Some are just manifested differently. And Through the Roof, we talked about it this week. I like this manual because it's a specific, detailed things to consider as you go towards changing the heart of the church. You know, it's not just the ramp. You need to start training people, educating them as you do as a parent. You're always educating, aren't you? Right, Joanne? And so your experience is really needed to help do that, because most people who do not have that experience, it's not even in their grid. You know, it's not a concern of theirs. This is a DVD. It's just basic stuff. You could use it for training. You would not use it in front of the church, but it just basically says myths and truth in average Joe language, which I like. Barbara Newman is very good at writing and giving examples. She does a really a good job at helping people like myself who talk to others share a picture so that they can teach it to someone else. That's not my talent, I know that. You know, this is a stretch, but I do love work one-on-one or with small groups like this, because we have so much to do, and my church can't do it all, their church can't do it all. We have so many people that need to help out. But that's just something if you like intellectual ideas. Jim Pearson has been working in disability ministry for over 30 years. He is an awesome teacher. We actually had him at a Through the Roof Academy. One thing he said at that academy, he said, there's no such thing as disability ministry. It's just ministry to people who happen to have a disability. And wow, I don't know, that just struck me in a very new way that, yeah, I think if we just keep saying disability ministry, we are still segregating. So this is another way to word it. This manual, if you have a children's pastor or director, I would get it for them. It talks about a disability and then teaching tips. And you can tear the page out. So it's very user-friendly. And it might be a comfort to them if you're going to start something, hey, you can look up with that disability, what it looks like in most cases. But of course, everybody's different. And usually, we all have more than just one disability. I'm going to go through these quickly, these little blue books, because they are in the previous book. They're all part of exceptional teaching. Some people would rather just pick up a book on learning disability. So that's available. I'm just going to go through them. You have basic disability training for Christian education teachers. I think one of the basic training people would be maybe finding someone in the community who works with this population. Ask them, would you be willing to lead a training? You know, how do you redirect? How do you help someone? How not to lift someone out of a chair and carry them up on stage? All those kinds of things you don't do. So you don't have to always train. It could be someone else. Even if they're not believers, that's okay. It might be the first time they're coming into a church. Here's one on learning disabilities. Emotional behavior problems. Including students with mental retardation. I'm from the old school. My brother has been diagnosed with severe mental retardation. Sometimes it's called developmental disabilities. Sometimes it's called intellectual disabilities. Are there any more? What? Cognitive, okay. Let's hear the labels. Come on, bring them out. Developmental delay. And usually if I know it's a younger person, I try to use the political correct term, but you know, I'm going to slip. I'm going to say my brother has mental retardation. That's what I know. And how to help families. So these are just topical. I'm not going to get into specific because you can look at them on the table. How many of you were at the very first workshop? Okay, do you remember that video? Of actual walkthrough of a special needs classroom. That's what this DVD is in his image. There are two versions. You have the 6 minute, which is the one that you saw, and then there's a 10 minute one. But basically what it was is just talking to people who are actually leading a small classroom, and then it has some parental input on what it means to be part of the church. One thing that gets me every time is they have one dad just kind of break down, just sharing how he has broken dreams for his son. Sometimes visuals in this ministry help all the time. All things possible, it's calling your church leadership to embrace disability ministry. One thing I want to tell you that I'm sharing these very quickly because it's all too much to take in. Just giving you an idea of what is available. But years ago, we did not have these resources. Nothing. And so we were kind of winging it all the time. But the wonderful thing is we have the love of Jesus. And that's all required of us, is to love people as they are. The Hearts in Motion Bible study, let's say if you're going to start a disability ministry, it's a four-part Bible study with scriptures, and it will have a discussion, and you'll get a feel for where people are in their understanding of this community of people. Kind of like, what is it called, leveling the playing field or something like that? Okay. They do have a student guide, too. Practical pathways is just for volunteer ideas. I need help in that area. I'm hoping to find someone that will just take care of that at my church for me, to do the training, to talk to the potential buddies, classroom workers. Responding with compassion are just ministry models, like I shared with you, the boardroom. Another thing is I take churches to Special Olympics. We have a blast. I mean, it's really a blast. This year we had a Hawaiian theme, and I made all the guys wear the grass skirts. And they loved it. But it's just a fun way to help people be with community people. And it's a great way for me to get churches to come and help get their feet wet. So my house will be full. This is really talking about once you have someone in your church community, if they do have cognitive delays, developmental delays, how we can help them to see if they want to be baptized, different inclusion ideas, and if different strategies. We talked about the buddy classroom connection yesterday. Some places just start with a buddy program. It's a great place to start. I did have a church that said they wanted to start a respite, but they did not have a buddy program in place. If you have an event and people see your heart, you better be ready that they're going to come to your church. You know, and at Special Olympics, I used to take the folks to the aquatics event, and I met Sam, and Sam was a great swimmer. She had CP, and I don't know how she did. She did the backstroke, and she did it in a straight line. It was just amazing. So anyway, I invited her parents to come to church, and they came the next day. About 6 months later, we encourage our families to go up for prayer afterwards. And so people coming in with red eyes is kind of normal for us. But Sam's mother came in, and she gave me a hug, and she said, "My husband just accepted Christ." And so we don't know what a Special Olympics event does. It's truly amazing. Special Needs Special Ministry. If you want, looking for a read that has parental import, professional import, church import, this is a recommended read. I like the fact that they had the parents' input, which is really, really important, or the caregiver. Sometimes we have books that just focus on the person that's disabled, and they don't look at the picture of the whole family. This would be something that might help out. Some churches may not have anybody, but they have people that are terminally ill, or they are chronically ill. You could possibly have a Bible study using the When God Weeps book. When God Weeps is probably the best book on suffering, and then the scriptural support, as you heard Johnny last night. There is a beginning and an end to this group, so I think there's 10 gatherings. There is a video that goes with it, and then group discussion. Some people just invite the whole church to that. So it's not just people who are chronically ill, it might be their loved ones or friend or someone that wants to rally alongside of somebody else. Of course, we talked about the special needs smart pages. We wish we had this 20 years ago because we had to make our own forms, created our own ideas. This thing, you can reproduce the whole thing. You have two DVDs inside, and one is actually the whole book on the DVD. And then there's also video support on the other DVD. But this, you know, if you have questions on how to start a buddy program, how to help parents, how to start a respite, how do you train people, it's right there in regular language, not, you know, therapeutic language. But that's a really good thing to consider. Again, this is another Barbara Newman book, Autism in the Church, and it's focused on autism spectrum disorders. How many of you know that your church is affected by autism? Yeah. You know, you wonder if it's just, my brother has autistic-like behaviors. You know, like he'll look up in the sky, he'll dangle a sock because it's comforting to him. People on the autism spectrum have sensory issues, so when they're overloading, some would not like this light blaring on them. Or a large room, if every seat was taken here and everybody's talking, it'd be overwhelming to them. So basically, instead of like what we would do is, if something's bothering, we would remove ourselves from situation. Some just kind of go within themselves. And so flapping is comforting. Dangling the sock is comforting. So it's something to keep that in mind. Let me go back a second. I want to tell you a story about Joshua. Joshua was one of my first two kids that came, and when he was 8 then, and when he turned about 13, he all of a sudden saw the power. He's on the autism spectrum. Saw the power of this. Of course, he has no space issues, so he's right there. And so we had our class on Saturday night, and so his mother, Sherry, said, "Okay, Josh, you can say hi to whoever you want at church." And she expected that. By the time he came in, he was like already keyed up because he'd been thinking all day, "I'm going to church, I can talk to anybody." And so I said, "Sherry, we need to think of another plan." And she said, "Okay, Josh, you can say hi to anybody after church." And so I didn't know he could tell time. So about 10 minutes before church is getting out, he's like getting all crazy again. So I said, "All right, Sherry, I think we need to figure out a new redirect." And she said, "Well, do you have a vacuum cleaner?" I said, "Yeah, I have a vacuum cleaner." She said, "He likes to vacuum. It's very soothing him." So we have a dirt devil in a closet. And I did not know that Courtney is afraid of the dirt devil. And so when we started the vacuum, she screamed and headed to the door. You have times like that, you gotta laugh with it. Well, we decided to move our class from Saturday night to Sunday morning. And that's when I made the decision that we were going to take our class into the worship music part, first half hour, and then go to our class and have our own lesson. Well, Josh was still into this, but by this time, he's probably like here, 6'2", something like that. Well, as we leave, I see him way ahead talking to this very petite woman with obviously visual impairment glasses, and he's leaning over her. I'm holding Courtney, who has CP, so she's kind of slow, and says, "Courtney, come on, we gotta catch up with Josh." And so I finally got to Josh, and it was right between the lobby and the auditorium, right where the trash cans are. So here, he said, "Mrs. Peterman, what's wrong with her eyes?" And then she was very gracious. She said, "Well, I'm blind." "Oh, okay," walked away. And I thought, okay, I'm really sorry for him being so direct, but it's part of his disability is, lay it out there, black and white. He came back and said, "Mrs. Peterman, does that mean that she can't see?" She said, "Yes, that means I can't see." "Oh, okay." And so when he came back one more time. I hate bottles. I don't drink very well. He said, "Mrs. Peterman, I think we should pray for her eyes." And she said, "That would be great." So he basically took his hand on her shoulder and said, "Lord, I ask that you would lift your mighty right hand and heal her eyes in Jesus' name." And he's gone. So here's this God moment happening where the trash cans are, between the lobby and the auditorium. I saw that he understood who to go to for prayer. Amazing. And so when we tell the stories of the people we meet and how God uses them, it makes them real, and it also makes God really, really real. And this one's a pretty new one. I'm not really sure about all of it. I'm thinking that it's probably basically setting up a disability ministry and then being aware of the different types of resources that are available in the community. And again, this is another guide for inclusion. And this little packet, let's say if you have a training session, this little packet includes tips on how to be with someone who has CP, or just a basic little information on what it might mean, imply limit-wise. So we should be done. If you wouldn't mind, Mr. Soundcheck Guy, can you please put the Christian Institute video on, please? I'll let it explain itself to you. I'm glad he's doing it, not me. I always hit the wrong buttons. Anyway, the Christian Institute, since we've been doing disability ministry a lot of Johnny's life, it's a place where people can go, where our offices are, first of all. And then it's a place where people can be trained. We have pastor training, lay people training, and there are some programs that can be done online as well. So our hope is that we can get seminary schools to take on the curriculum offered so that these pastors are understanding that this is part of their calling. This is the people that God will send to them. Thank you.
Vision for the Christian Institute on Disability was given birth many years ago when a Down syndrome infant was starved to death in a hospital. The Supreme Court of Indiana said it was okay for the parents to refuse to give permission for the doctors to operate. In other words, the hospital had the right to starve that infant to death. And I remember thinking at the time, then all people with disabilities, their lives are in jeopardy.
Christian Institute on Disability. In our Public Policy Center, we are combating the lies of today.
The church is here to be an influence in culture, to influence culture by light, by truth. Culture has been squeezing the church, and we have seen that expressed in many ways. We want to understand before we believe, rather than believing in order to understand.
The church has not understood its calling. And the reality is that the church is to address the belief issue and to impact society's actions and behaviors. So what is a commission to the church has become an omission. At the Christian Institute on Disability, we're going to help bring the commission back and empower and equip the church to reach out and to minister to those affected by disability.
We are bringing God back into the public square.
God loves justice. In fact, in Psalm 82, he tells us, defend the cause of the weak, maintain the rights of the poor, and rescue those that are weak and needy. He loves it when his people take a stand and become a voice for those that may not have a voice.
What does injustice look like? It means aborting that unborn child on the basis of a small chromosomal defect. It means pulling the life supports on an elderly person.
How are we to respond to medical and scientific communities that challenge the definition of personhood?
of all the things we're doing at the Johnny and Friends International Disability Center, we couldn't be doing anything more important, anything more critical, more timely than our initiatives at the Christian Institute on Disability. They are passionate, they are cutting edge, they are current in this high-tech world where bioethics are confusing and medical technology is rushing forward at a breakneck speed. We want to give the church tools so that they'll know what to say when people believe that a human being is disposable and expendable. The weak and the vulnerable and the medically fragile have never fared well in societies that have lost their moral center, their moral compass. And we at the Christian Institute on Disability are realigning that compass for the Christian church.
At the Christian Institute on Disability, we are bringing God and theology back into the conversation, back into the public arena, back into the areas of medicine, of technology, of science. And we are taking back ground that the devil has taken away when it comes to defining what is a person, who is a person, what does that look like, what's the meaning of life, what's the value of life. And at the Christian Institute on Disability, imagine for a moment, if you will, an institute that is taking the subject of disability, of theology, of the various disciplines that affect all of us in life. And we're taking it to colleges and universities and seminaries, and we're training seminarians how to minister to those affected by disability in the local church and around the world. And imagine, if you will, a public policy center that confronts and challenges issues of today's culture and bioethics and sanctity of life. And we bring a biblical perspective, a Christian worldview to the subject. And imagine with me, if you will, an internship program where we are bringing students from disciplines from all over, universities and seminaries, and we're giving them hands-on experience. We call it experiential learning, where they will go around the world ministering to those affected by disability. That's what the Christian Institute on Disability is all about, delivering life-giving truth.
I'm really excited about this program. I know that pastors have lost vision for this community of people, and I think it's just because it's not been encouraged in their learning. Again, if it's not personally affecting you, it's just something that you need to learn. And some people just don't have those opportunities or don't take those opportunities to meet the people that we love so much. Now, we have plenty of time for questions and answers, or, I brought some stuff if you just want to kind of look at them up here. So if you have any questions after being with us for a couple of sessions.
Is there a way to contact you?
No, my office is here in Columbus. Yes, and my phone number if you want it. Is 259-5257. And what wonderful thing is, all of us really are encouraged to have our own disability ministries in our churches. And so if we don't have the answer, we probably know someone else that does. Honestly, we haven't arrived. There's always something new to learn. And some churches are doing it better than my own church. And that's really exciting. There are some churches that have a whole staff of special ed teachers because the pastor has a child with disabilities. And actually, that church is McLean Bible Church in McLean, Virginia. But that's not a typical disability ministry. A typical one is just someone who has a willing heart to include and is willing to take those steps to make that happen. So you being here is a big step. I know you have a ministry going here. You oversee the teens, right? And you're thinking, you're an interpreter. And she already knows that her church needs help in a schedule of interpreting. Is there anything else that God's pointing out to you guys that you can think of might be something to do?
I just wonder, we're from New Jersey, and just how to influence public policy, particularly because it's such a difficult time in our current administration that we have. There are a number of people in New Jersey who are godless, and we have a high number of disabilities there. So I'm frightened for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering, how long has this existed, and are other people panicking because of the change? And
well, people who have the who have at one time had the resources and learning they're not going to have it is difficult. But you know what? This is time for the church to step up to the plate and let get messy. You know, let's build a ramp. Let's if we don't have the answer, let's find someone, a resource that might be available for an answer. One thing that I love to do, and I think that's what God had me do just until I got on staff with Johnny and Friends, is networking. You know, I know people in this city who are either in MRDD or Easter Sales or whatever agency that is working with the people we love. There's no need for us to do what they're doing. But the difference is that they can't bring Jesus into the picture. And he is the great physician and healer and a lover of our soul. And so, you know, just making that network with those different agencies. They call me now, hey, do you have a wheelchair? And so it's just pressing in and keep pressing in. See who has influence. Call their local university. For me, I'll ask the special ed department at OSU, do you have any kids that need an internship? Come help me in my Sunday school program. And they get a different perspective because the church is different than public school. It just is. So it's really just praying where God wants you to be and then praying for those people to be put in your midst, of people who are of influence. Because it's just like when we say, let's have a disability awareness Sunday. Well, if the pastor is not preaching it from the pulpit, it's a harder journey, much harder journey than when they say, yeah, we need to do this. Frankly, in my church, we went through the side door. We went through children's ministry. That's where the kids were. I had already had a relationship with the children's pastor. And so when I told her, let's do this, she said, you know, absolutely. She knew it was God's heart. Where there are people who, like maybe some of you, who maybe have approached someone of authority at your church, and then they said, well, we need to pray about it. We don't have the resources. There's no budget. You know, they already have the answers of no. And so you need to prepare yourself. And when you approach that person, you know, we talked in a previous workshop of you don't have to have a lot of money to start a disability class. You know, it's free. Just love people where they're at. If you have a child coming and you don't have a buddy program, go ahead and ask the parent, you know, how can we come alongside with you so your child can be included and you guys can go into the church together? You know, so it's asking the questions. Most parents are very, very happy that you are even considering helping include their child. Right? Yes?
Do you have people like service animals in the mm-hmm. church, and is there any sort of things to be aware of to accommodate?
Well, that's part of the educating the church. A Disability Awareness Sunday can address that. I mean, let's say that you can have someone who uses a service dog. Let's say if it's a kid. You can have the parents come up front, say, we're Mary and John, and this is our son, Tommy. Tommy, if he can talk, why don't you introduce your friend? Or tell us why that dog is your friend. So it's just making people real. And, you know, we can show a picture, we can do this kind of stuff, but it really doesn't really matter in the end. It's how you spend time with someone. So it's education. That could be part of the training. I know at our family retreat, we had a boy who had a service dog, and family fun night or a talent show, he was up on the stage and shared all the tricks. One of them was the dog could take his sock off. Well, he could do it himself, but here little Jonathan was on the stage with Lady pulling off the sock. And I mean, we knew it took him time to think, to train that dog. So when we start telling these kind of stories, we make our people real. Yeah. And service dogs should be included in church. That is part of that person, you know, part of why they can come to church. And that's maybe educating the leaders in church. We went to a church and trained the staff. You know, if you're going to do disability ministry, let's learn how to welcome. This one church, they couldn't get a disability ministry started. I said, oh, let's take it to the staff, because maybe they're the ones that are squelching it from happening. I'm done. Thank you.
This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship and is copyrighted. You may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.